Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. This is Bronco Monday. We'll discuss the most recent Boise State game and talk about the upcoming schedule. Now here's Chris Walton and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
Well, Nate Shellman here playing the part of Chris Walton. Jay Howell playing the part of Paul J. Snyder. And playing the part of Bob Beeler will be...
Bob Beeler,
welcome in.
One out of three, right?
Not bad. 41-14, season high total offense.
Well, and you know, it's so funny. You follow the team, you study them, you watch them, you see how the season's unfolded. And I looked at the statistics before the game and saw Utah State was giving up better than 200 yards a game on the ground.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking, attack them on the ground.
Sure.
Now, Madison did get 110 yards. It was a good game, ran it enough to really keep them honest. But this was the game that we've been waiting for all season, for the passing game to wake up. The pass totals were 370 yards, a combined 24 of 34 for Rippon and Cozart. I have never seen a team shuttle quarterbacks in and out on drives and get it to work the way this has worked. This has been a tremendous improvement and coaching job, in my opinion, by Boise State with what they've been able to turn around from. You know, people in September were thinking, oh, it's 2-2, this is a bad team, to now Boise State is the only team left that hasn't lost in conference play. And, you know, not to say that it's going to be easy the rest of the way. Nevada's only won one game. You'd like to think this one coming up is going to be, but then you've got Colorado State, who got beat by Air Force. Then you've got Air Force that has beaten Boise State 3 years in a row. And you finish with a Fresno State team, although they lost this past week also, mm-hmm. that's still sitting atop the West Division. So, you know, it's not an easy November, but you certainly put yourself in a position to win the league.
Yeah, and quite a turnaround from 2015 and all those turnovers. There were
2016.
Yeah.
Oh, against Utah State.
Sorry. Yeah,
sorry.
Right. No turnovers Saturday night.
Well, there were no turnovers on either side, and the one thing I'll say about football, if you have no turnovers on either side, that benefits whoever's the better team.
You talked about the two quarterback system. One thing that had been said from over the course of many weeks, you could put nine in the box on Boise State University, and they're probably still going to run the ball. They hadn't been able to pass yet. Now they're starting to pass. Now they're starting to build that confidence between both quarterbacks.
Right, and picking their spots, giving some threats for Cozart to run. Cedric Wilson got back into the game plan, it seemed like, or they found him. Six catches, 94 yards. Jake Rowe, boy, it's good to have him healthy this year. He leads tight ends in the nation in touchdowns. He has two running touchdowns, six catching touchdowns. He had a couple of touchdowns. And the defense did its thing. I mean, Utah State, maybe to their own detriment, ran plays very quickly. They would line up, they would snap it, kind of like what Baylor did, mm-hmm. except not as good and not as quick as Baylor did. And it kind of threw the defense a little bit, but they were able to react pretty well. And you know, you hold somebody to 14 points, I'd like to think you're going to win most games.
My cost analysis, though, how banged up are the Broncos? Because while it was a great victory to get, it didn't come at no price.
Well,
David Moa really...
Well, David Moa left the game, looked like it was some sort of a leg, ankle, or whatever.
Roll-up injury.
Yeah, one of those. It doesn't, you know, isn't good. Durant Miles left the game as well. Those are two guys up front. Now, in a game like Saturday, when you're winning big in the second half, sometimes it's hard to tell, you know, could somebody have come back? I mean, if you're ahead 41-14 or 30-something to 14 at the time, you know, why are you going to bring people back?
Rest them.
I mean... you're not going to bring him into the game. So hopefully, you know, I mean, Madison looked a couple times like he was taking a pounding and getting up a little slow. But he was also running pretty good.
Sure.
110 yards. I think a lot of it is this time of the year. You're looking at late October and people are getting a little sore, but you're right. Just some kind of bumps and bruises kind of things. And, you know, we'll see. I would imagine that Coach Hartson won't have a whole lot to say at our press conference today at 1:00, but you know, you never know.
Yeah, Madison, 110 yards on the ground and a touchdown reception, and I think 28 yards receiving.
Yeah, that's something that he's worked on, and he's gotten better. And it just seems like the offense is starting to improve. Every week the offense has gotten better. It started because the line's gotten better, then the run game got better, and then this past week the passing game got a whole lot better. So if the team we've seen the last couple of weeks shows up, they're going to do very well in November.
I don't want to say if Bob Beeler is joining us in studio, if we're joining Bob Beeler here in studio for Bronco Monday. But we have more Bronco Monday when we come back. As we enjoy the spoils of a 41-14 victory here on Bronco Monday, I'm sitting in for Chris Walton, Jay Howell in for Paul J. Snyder, and of course joining us as always on Mondays, Bob Beeler. Coach, what were his takeaways from this?
I think he was pretty happy. Let's hear some of the comments from the postgame show. We mentioned about the pass game breaking out, season best 370 yards. We asked him why this was the big week for passing.
We thought we could throw it tonight. We thought we could come out here and had a few shots and that we could hit them, and we did that. We didn't hit all of them, but we hit enough and more than we've hit, you know, the previous game. So really, hopefully that shows up in a little bit more balance on the offensive side when you can run it when you want to, throw it when you need to, and also be effective in those areas.
And he's talking about, you know, being balanced. And I think, you know, on a game, if you can throw with this kind of accuracy for this kind of yards and even stretching the field a little bit, they went downfield against Utah State, it'll soften things up for the run game. And I think part of it is maybe the run game has softened things up for the pass game, because the first 3 weeks in October, it was a run heavy. Mm-hmm. And Utah State tried to stop the run, and maybe they did a little bit, but Boise State sure beat them in the air.
The X factor, the confidence builder, it's always nice to exact your will on your opponent, mm-hmm. as you plan out, as you practice throughout the entire week. That's got to feel good.
Absolutely, and again, Boise State, I think one of the biggest takeaways for me is that if Brett Rypien can maintain this performance, Brett Rypien is back to the quarterback we saw as an all-conference quarterback, and Coach Shaw also talked about what he was able to do during the game.
Well, I think we've got him settled in, and he got some completions early. I think he got into a rhythm. And, you know, don't underestimate that at quarterback. You got to get into a rhythm. And sometimes, you know, you're not getting that many plays in the first half, whatever it might be. And we practiced that way. I thought Coach Hill and the offensive staff did a really good job with Brett and Montel. But Brett in particular got into a rhythm this week in practice. He got into a rhythm in the game, and it showed up.
How do you get into a rhythm, though, when you're splitting time?
Well, I think he was also talking about the fact that a lot of the games the offense didn't have a lot of first downs.
Sure.
And I think maybe the hidden stat of the whole improvement for Boise State is third downs. They were 7 of 15 on third downs. In the month of October, they were 50% on third downs. The month of September, they were 33% on third downs.
Wow.
To me, that's the whole thing. You get a first down, you keep things going, you keep your offense on the field, you move the ball down the field, thus you score.
Easier opponents, though? Maybe?
I wouldn't say so. I mean, San Diego State's pretty good.
Okay.
This is probably one of BYU's weakest teams, but, you know, you played...
Statistically speaking, San Diego State didn't perform like San Diego State.
Not against Boise State, they didn't.
Right.
But Wyoming is a decent team. You know, you look at the first, you know, New Mexico hasn't done anything since they... You know, since Boise State played them, they've had a lot of trouble. So, yeah, I think the months, you know, Washington State's pretty good.
Okay.
Virginia, I think, is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Troy was pretty good. I think somewhat comparable. So I don't know that I would say that it's easy. I think the offensive line has come around from the beginning of the season. I think that's one of the big things.
Growing as the season goes on. That's what you want to see from any team.
Mm-hmm. And that was leads us to our last one, controlling the lines. I mean, you look at if your defensive line can do things and your offensive line can do things, it goes a long way to winning.
Well, I think it's a lot in the mindset. Run the ball and stop the run. Those are the two things that we talk about. I think it all starts there. Our guys are just playing. If you pop, you know, we pop on this game here, we'll watch it again. I'm sure that we have some good technique in there, and that we're playing really fundamentally sound football on the D line. And that's the tip of the spear. You know, it all starts there. It starts on the O line and the D line. If those guys are playing well, then usually the rest of the team is going to follow.
Your line wins either on the offensive or the defensive side. You can do what you want to do. We'll be back with more of Bronco Monday on 670 KBOI.
Bronco Monday's here. Nate Shulman sitting in for Chris Walton, Jay Howell, Bob Beeler joining us. And it's the two-quarterback system, which has been tried over time. I mean, Ohio State's done it without as much success. Mm-hmm. Usually teams in transition do the two-quarterback system.
Well, Utah State had done the two-quarterback system, and they kind of did it Saturday, but it's been second quarter, first drive. The first full drive of the second quarter, they bring the backup quarterback in. And that was Love that started the last two games. This time it was Myers. And they had him play the one drive, and that was it. Never brought him back. I think a couple times they brought him back in the second half. This one is literally like a running back or a receiver where whoever's out of the game is standing there ready to go back in at a moment's notice. And there were probably a half dozen plays where both of them were on the field at the same time.
So what makes this work? Is it the prep? Is it the pluses and minuses? Because all coaches want to get lightning in a bottle. Or is this a one-off? Is this just going to happen just one time and never again?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that the two guys have bought in. Because I think if the two guys themselves, and we talked to Brett Rypien after the game, and he mentioned that, you know, both guys have kind of checked their ego. And the way he said it, reading between the lines, is maybe it wasn't initially as early, but now, you know, obviously they've been working together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, certainly the results speak for themselves. So, you know, I think the guys deserve credit. I think the coaches have deserved credit for thinking outside the box of how you're going to utilize your talent. And I think that, you know, to me, a good coach, I think this, you know, Coach Harsin did go to the Fiesta Bowl his first year, but I think this may be the staff's best coaching year in the time he's been here, because I think the sign of a good coach is figuring out what you have, whatever that might be, shortcomings, strengths, et cetera, and figuring out the best plan for those people, and I think they've done a really good job of that.
Broncos have had their share of distractions off the field, and I see a story here out of Reno where one of their assistants has decided to drive his car into the Nugget Casino there in Reno, Nevada. Graduate assistant Jeff Nady suspended after crashing his car into the Nugget. So distractions all around. What do we need to worry about? What do we need to worry about from Nevada?
Nevada is a team that has given great games to Air Force and Colorado State the last 2 weeks. Games that maybe if they, you know, had been a little better before the year, they might have known how to win. But Nevada has lost both of the games by 3 points to Air Force, 2 points to Colorado State. I think this is a game that it's all about Boise State. Don't turn it over. Have your defense play well. I mean, they've won one game. I'm not saying it's going to be a walk in the park.
Right.
But I think this is a game that you're the better team. You need to go out and show it.
In a season, though, where we've seen upsets all over the place.
I know.
It's what you can't sleep on anybody.
You cannot sleep on anybody, and that's the point in the conference. And if you, did you think Colorado State in Fort Collins would think that Nevada would take them to a 2-point game? Do you think Air Force would have thought in Reno that they would have been taken to a 3-point game? I think the answer to that is no on both counts. So, yeah, you're right. You just need to look at the scores and say they're 1-7, but you got to be careful sometimes.
Is the grudge still a factor? It's been a while.
We haven't played them in 2 years.
Right.
It's kind of disappointing. I mean, Boise State's played Nevada, I think, more times than anybody else in football. So we'll see how it goes. But I think play your cards right. This is a win like Saturday.
Well, we have a nice early kickoff at 5 o'clock. Got Bronco game day starting at noon. Bronco Monday, thank you very much.
Coach's show this week, 7 o'clock Wednesday because of Basketball Thursday.
Very good. That's right, the return of basketball. Thank you very much. Bob Beeler, voice of the Broncos, appreciate the time. When we come back, we got to get into the news. We've had our fun with sports. Let's talk about a 12-count indictment next.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Except neither one of them are here. Nate Shellman filling in for Chris Walton, Jay Howell filling in for Paul J. Schneider. And the top story of the day, what started off as just talking about the Mueller indictments, has led to names. We now know that Paul Manafort has turned himself into the FBI. Rick Gates, also named in this indictment. And just coming out a couple minutes ago, George Papadopoulos, former advisor, pleading guilty to lying to the FBI, joining us from Washington, D.C. Correspondent Bob Constantini. Bob, we hear you at top of the hour most days. You've had a busy morning today.
From a reporter's standpoint, and I think from the nation's standpoint, frankly, it was
all right, test for me.
Get this out quickly today, because it had leaked out Friday night that there was going to be an indictment, in this case, two indictments. And, you mentioned the Manafort and Rick Gates indictments, but from my point of view, the Papadopoulos thing might be actually more significant in terms of the White House right now, because as the president has pointed out in his own tweet, that the Manafort's actions and Gates' actions occurred before they were part of the Trump campaign. Papadopoulos has pleaded guilty to making false statements to the FBI for work supposedly that he was doing during the campaign, trying to seek out what is, and this, these are allegations, I want to be clear about that, trying to seek out information from Russian sources, disparaging information on Hillary Clinton. So that matter, which was also unsealed today, even though the plea was taken on October 3rd, that might be actually more important in terms of the fate of the Trump White House guys.
Bob J. Howell here.
Sure.
Of the 12 12 different counts in the indictment, we're speculating here as to what might be the most serious. What do you think is the most serious of the 12 allegations in the indictment? Is it one of the conspiracy counts or what?
Well, of course, the term in the indictment is conspiracy against the United States. Now, that makes it sound somewhat sinister, and I should, you know, we should be clear that a lot of this is regarding not registering as a foreign lobbyist for the work that they did on behalf of Ukrainian and Russian clients, but also hiding some of their profits from that work away to have to not reveal that they were lobbying for foreign governments, hiding that money away in foreign accounts, which amounts to tax evasion. So I think the not registering as a foreign agent could be the biggest problem for them. They may have assets seized. Manafort's house, his condo in Virginia was raided back in July in a no-knock raid with the FBI. But again, it is important to point out that so far, at least, Manafort and Gates, the charges against them do not directly relate to the allegations that Russia tried to influence the election. I will also point out that Manafort was one of those people in the Trump Tower meeting that was arranged by Don Jr. in an effort to have Russians bring to the campaign disparaging information, dirt on Hillary Clinton as well. So maybe we'll hear more about future charges against Manafort. We don't know, but they will both Manafort and Gates will both reportedly appear in court later on today here in Washington to be read the charges against them.
Bob Costantini joining us here on 670 KBOI. As exciting and newsy as this morning has been, are we done with the names, or are we going to hear more names as the hours go on?
I don't necessarily think. I think it was interesting because the unsealing of the Papadopoulos guilty plea that was part of the Mueller investigation is something that happened today. I think perhaps that was specifically done, timed, because there would be a lot of people going through records at the courthouse today, the unsealing of these indictments. So I suppose if anything else was unsealed in there right now related to this investigation, we'd probably know about it. But I can't guarantee you we won't hear anything else today. But I think that's probably as far as we're going to go. It's just me speculating a little bit.
Bob J. again here. I'm going to ask you to speculate a little bit more. You mentioned earlier that the kind of the leak that this that Mueller was going to present his case today. This has been kind of developing all weekend long. Well, former Congressman Jason Chaffetz tweeted this morning, all grand jury business is supposed to be secret. Leak after leak, someone should be prosecuted. Well, what do you think? Do you think there might be blowback to whoever, if they can prove who leaked this information? What do you think?
I suppose it'll be up to the Justice Department, which, of course, is under Jeff Sessions. Technically, he's recused himself from all things having to do with the Russia investigation. Does a leak have to do with the Russia investigation, or does a leak have to do with leaking? So we'll see. I would think, and we know that the Obama administration tried to, and did prosecute some leakers, I would think that this Justice Department with Jeff Sessions at the helm may especially want to go after some of these people who've leaked if they can find them. And it has been leaking quite a bit from that investigation, even as Robert Mueller himself has basically remained mum and out of sight, but it's well known, a lot of people he has hired for this this very broad Russia probe.
Reporter Bob Costantini joining us here on 670 KBY. You saying just moments ago that these charges against Gates and against Manafort don't have to do with the campaign. Tom Perez, DNC chair, issued the statement earlier today that the chairman of Donald Trump's campaign and his deputy have been charged with conspiracy against the U.S., money laundering, making false statements, all their related work to promote a pro-Putin campaign. China's sure. Just throwing it all in there. Now, never waste a moment to capitalize on politics. To your seeing, is this political on Mueller's part?
No, I don't think it's political on Robert Mueller's part, because he has generally been perceived, and even in the White House at least, by and large, he has a strong reputation. And even, what was he yesterday on one of the Sunday shows, Trey Gowdy, who is the Republican congressman who led the Benghazi special committee, was saying, well, let Mueller do his work. Let's see what the charges bring, et cetera, et cetera. So I think Republicans are going to have a tough time accusing Robert Mueller of being political. We've seen some of that in that, Mueller and James Comey were friends. But I think you have a tough time when someone as sober as Robert Mueller is in charge of an investigation to say that it is political. But some people will. There's no question about it, guys.
Okay, Bob, kind of wrapping things up. Is it time to pop the popcorn and keep watching this? What do you expect to happen next? Is this going to be drug out, or is this it?
Well, things seem to be moving relatively quickly. We're 5 months into the Mueller era of this investigation. And, this may pick up some steam. But if he's trying to squeeze Manafort or Gates about some information, and Gates did apparently continue to do work for the campaign and the transition, after Manafort was kicked out. So if Mueller is trying to squeeze them, then, that may take some time, or they may try to make some kind of arrangements with this. And again, I emphasize the Papadopoulos thing could be really interesting to Mueller, and it also is something that the White House maybe needs to be worried about, because he was reportedly seeking the information from Russian contacts regarding Hillary Clinton.
Bob Costantini joining us here on 670 KBY live from Washington, D.C., keeping us up to date on today's top story. Bob, appreciate the time, sir.
AJ, thank you very much.
All right, now the rest of it is up to you. 208-336-3700. #670 on your Verizon wireless phone. For those of you who think this is a witch hunt, do you still think this is a witch hunt? Now we have an advisor pleading guilty to lying to the FBI, George Papadopoulos, former Trump campaign advisor. Two other former Trump campaign workers. You got the chairman, Paul Manafort. You got his protege, Paul Gates. 208-336-3700. #670 on your Verizon wireless phone. You still think it's a witch hunt? Or are you getting a little scared? More of your calls next.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul Jay and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
All right, Nate Shellman here filling in for Chris Walton. Jay Howell filling in for Paul Jay Schneider. And if you know Paul Jay's play of the game, 208-336-3711. 208-336-3711. Guess it, and if you're right, well, we'll hook you up right here on 670 KBY. The mindset, Jay Howell, going back to today's top story, when the allegations first came out that the Trump campaign had colluded with Russians or Russian factors or Russian interests, or that the Russians were colluding and handing over all this information on the Clinton campaign in return for stuff, whether it's money or favors, what was once met with rolled eyes and skepticism now has two indictments and one one guilty plea as that investigation continues.
Well, yes, we now have indictments. Now, granted, it still has to go to trial. There still has to be a conviction for this to have any legs at all or any basis. In fact, as I'm looking over the indictment now, trying to figure out how they're building this case of a conspiracy against the United States, I see that the allegation is that Manafort and Gates did work for a political party in the Ukraine, or actually doing work for their front group.
Right. Alleged
front group.
Right.
For an alleged political party that allegedly is pro-Russian, but they're in the Ukraine. So there's a lot of stuff that still needs to be proven, and that'll have to happen in court.
Looking for Paul J's play of the game. 208-336-3711.
Okay, and we have Mark. Mark, what is Paul J's play of the game?
It was a ripping 22-yard touchdown pass to Jake Rowe with 42 seconds left in the first half.
As ripping under center, now Rowe moves back to the left side. Ripping back to pass, throws the ball left side, got Rowe at the goal line. Rowe with the catch. Did he get his foot in? Yes! Touchdown to Jake Rowe. What a catch, keeping the foot in bounds. 22 yards on the score, and the Broncos lead by 20.
All right, Mark, what are you going to get Jay and I for lunch? Are you going to take us out to lunch or dinner?
I'm
hungry.
I'll take you out to lunch.
All right. Well, congratulations. Mark, you don't actually have to do that. We got you hooked up with a $50 gift certificate to Lock, Stock, and Barrel for correctly naming Paul J's play of the game. Mark, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
All right, appreciate the call. 208-336-3700. That's the number. That's the number for you to call in on the indictments, on the guilty plea. Do you think there is something there? Do you think there is more to come? Do you think this is just the tip of the iceberg? This story has moved lightning fast from this weekend when it was named that indictments were being handed down to this morning. The name started popping up. What was once just Manafort then became Manafort and Rick Gates, and now George Papadopoulos pleading guilty to the allegations of hindering the FBI investigation.
And as you and I were talking about over the break, there is the possibility of even more people coming forward and making plea deals, because we don't know what kind of immunity has been worked out with some of the people we haven't heard from yet that may or may not be out there.
I maintain you don't plead guilty unless you've worked out a deal. You don't plead guilty against with help from a special counsel unless you work something out. And what I've seen about Papadopoulos, he shut down a Facebook account.
Right. Which isn't a whole lot, but what might he know?
Man, talk about the smoking gun. 208-336-3700, #670 on your Verizon Wireless phone, 1-800-529-KBOI. Do you think this is still a witch hunt? Hey, you work on a case for 5-6 months. You better come up with something. So far, this is the best Mueller has been able to come up with. Your thoughts when we come back after news.
Remember, you are listening to Paul J. and Chris on 670 KBOI.
Nate Shulman and Jay Howell filling in for Paul J. and Chris, 208-336-3700. Today's KBOI awards code is indictment. Just type in indictment at 670KBOI.com. Get yourself 5,000 KBOI rewards points. Are the indictments, are the charges handed down? Is it still a witch hunt, or do you think there is some truth? Do you think there's, as Jay put it, do you think there's more meat on those bones? Bob emails me, nate@kboi.com, says, Nate, the Uranium One scandal stinks to high heaven. Mueller can't go in that direction because he was head of FBI in 2010 and therefore has a conflict of interest. Jeff Sessions needs to appoint another special counsel, as the selling of 20% of our uranium, along with bribes, could be the biggest scandal in our history. Bob, to that charge, I would say, yes, it does stink. Yes, it does smell. Yes, it should be investigated. Everything you said, I agree with. But that is not the subject of this investigation. Just because somebody, I call it a four-year-old's argument, just because somebody broke the law 7 years ago just doesn't justify the law being broken today.
And, of course, Trey Gowdy's committee in Congress is going to be taking up that very issue. They've already started the investigation, so we'll let that process play out.
208-336-3700, #670 on your Verizon wireless phone.
Hank in Boise.
Yes, Mahler's like the weasel in the chicken house guarding the eggs. He's the one that put the gag order on the confidential witness. The timing of these indictments was speeded up basically to take the heat off of Hillary. He is definitely part of the deep state. He and this Rosenstein are both implicated in this, and I think he should have every reason to be suspicious. And if Manafort had been guilty, there was no real interest in pushing this thing until he became Trump's campaign manager, and I think it has everything to do about protecting the Democrats. And Mueller is dirty. He's dirty as they come.
Then it shouldn't be that hard for somebody who's charged with a crime to explain their actions and come clean.
Well, we'll see. And I think that Mueller himself has to answer to some charges too, because I think his role in the Hillary uranium thing, I think he also questions some legalities too. I think he's liable to some future criminal charges on himself. And then so is his big buddy Comey, and so is Rosenstein. All three of those guys are dirty. And I'm surprised. The biggest mistake was Jeff Sessions recusing himself on the very flimsy grounds. And I don't blame Trump for being very angry about this, because this was all a setup.
So do you hold out any hope that Trey Gowdy's investigation in Congress, that it might produce something that you're looking for?
Well, I don't know. The Republicans are a pretty gutless bunch. They are really gutless. And the thing is that the main when the mainstream media says boo, they shake in their corner. And the problem is it's going to take somebody who has the guts to pursue this thing, because they're going to come under immediate and broad or constant attack from CBS, NBC, all of the CNN. All of Washington Post, New York Times, the whole entire mainstream complex, and not many Republicans are courageous enough to take them on.
Hank, right. I appreciate the call. 208-336-3700, #670 on your Verizon wireless phone, 1-800-529-KBOI. You can be skeptical of Robert Mueller all you wish. That is fine. That is fine. Robert Mueller was able to take his case to a grand jury. They were able to indict based on the low, extremely low bar of evidence or questions you need to get a grand jury indictment. Now, it's not a rubber stamp by any chance, but there was enough questions brought up. There was enough skepticism, enough eyebrows raised, brought up to indict two. And then as Bob Costantini pointed out just after top of the hour, George Papadopoulos pleading guilty is a real eyebrow raiser.
And it was, as you said earlier, it was such a minor charge. He was he pleaded guilty to lying about taking down a Facebook account,
hindering the FBI investigation. But in that,
by
in essence,
taking down a Facebook
by
account.
Taking down a Facebook account that showed Russian communication, so it's not somebody's head on a platter. It's no lies. It's no videotape, but it is memos. And for the rest of us, for the rest of people out there, rather than work to defend your favorite guy or your favorite team, where does the truth take you? Because, Jay, I know you, and there was a time where you're like, this is all a bunch of hogwash, this is all a bunch of hooey, or use whatever verbiage you want.
I think
to.
I used other verbiage.
Yeah, I think you did. But how do you feel today? How do you feel, I mean, in your honest self? You can still be a fan of everybody. How do you feel now?
I am still kind of leaning in the direction of witch hunt.
Okay.
I'm still leaning in the direction of the bones look pretty bare right now. But I am, my interest is ultimately in the truth. So I'm one of those guys, I will pop the popcorn and sit back and, you know, leave the three different screens on three different channels, and I will follow this. I'll be interested to find out. I still kind of think that this is just something, and maybe Hank was right, that this is a deflection from the developments last week in the Clinton campaign and the dossier and all that.
People were bringing up uranium and the Clinton Foundation,
right,
and all that. People were bringing that up during the election. So I remember that being mentioned. 208-336-3700 #670 on your Verizon Wireless phone.
To Jeff in CUNA.
Yeah, you guys, have you found anything about the Russian collusion yet going on?
Have we done what?
Have you found anything in all these indictments about the Russian collusion?
Well, we haven't found anything, but somehow Robert Mueller has opined that Paul Manafort was taking money from the accusation. Jay, you have
prior to 2013,
right,
is when all these occurred, right?
Right.
Okay, so we're talking the 2016 election, right?
Yes. Yes, I see where you're going now. Yes.
Now, here's the interesting thing is the whole Trump dossier that started all these investigations and everything, who was it based on? Who were the sources of that Trump dossier?
Well, at first, the source was Fusion GPS that was hired by a conservative website, then handed over, and somehow the Clinton campaign and DNC picked it up.
Okay, and Steele, the guy named Steele, the Britisher, if you look at his testimony before Congress, that he had two sources. They were both former Russian Secret Service agents. This whole thing was set up by Russians. That's the hilarious part of this whole charade that's going on, is it was initially based on two Russians giving information to Steele, who worked it up through, and oh my God, look what it says about Trump. And everyone's going, well, it's Russian collusion. It's like, dude, yeah, Steele said my two sources are Russians.
And not only that, but as you mentioned, former Russian intelligence agents, Christopher Steele himself, I believe he was former MI6 or British intelligence.
Correct.
So kind of to play off of what Rush said last week, this isn't really a dossier per se. That's just the name given to it to give this.
To give some good old-fashioned
to make it
gossip.
Sound official.
Yeah, it's just gossip. And that's what, as I say, that's what's hilarious about this whole thing is the Russians started it. And it's been going on for a year, and they're still looking for collusion between Trump and the Russians. It's like, well, the Russians started the whole thing. What do you want?
Jeff, appreciate the call. 208-336-3700, #670 on your Verizon Wireless phone, 1-800-529-KBOI. Yes, while the charges against Manafort and Gates seem to predate the election, the Papadopoulos guilty plea does not. Take more of your calls when we come back. Do you still think this is a witch hunt, or you're starting to sweat a little? More of your calls next.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul, Jay, and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
What are you doing this afternoon? You want to do the show?
Yeah, why not?
3 to 7? Just yeah. Jay and Nate all the time?
Yeah.
I hope Chris Walton's back tomorrow.
That'd be like Ren and Stimpy.
No, yeah, just replay. Well, we'd be live, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, unlike that other station. Chris Walton is sick, so... What'd I say?
And we're sicker.
It's true. Chris Walton out sick. Chris, if you're listening, first of all, why? Secondly, I hope you feel better. Paul Jay back in the chair tomorrow, sitting where Jay Howell is currently sitting right now. But in the meantime, the whole accusation that the Trump campaign had some kind of relationship with the Russian government, interested parties in Russia. We get indictments back, and there's this feeding frenzy. Oh my gosh, we got indictments. We got 12 counts of indictments. Oh, what do we got? Jay Howell, you have the indictments run in front of you. Tell me about all the collusion during the campaign.
When I get to it,
okay.
When I get to it, I will mention it. Yeah, that I'm going through this 31 pages of indictments, and I'm not seeing the word collusion anywhere. Now, however, they are saying, in furtherance of the scheme, this is the scheme that Manafort and Gates allegedly worked for the Ukrainian government, which was really the Russian government in exile or something. From 2006 until 2014, both dates being approximate and inclusive. So, yes, this predates even by a year, even Donald Trump's announcement that he was a candidate.
Mike gets me on Facebook, says a professor with close ties to the Russian government told an advisor to the Trump campaign in April 2016 that Moscow had dirt on Hillary Clinton in the form of thousands of emails. According to court documents unsealed today, the advisor, George Papadopoulos, has pleaded guilty to lying about the FBI about that conversation. The plea represents the most explicit evidence connecting the Trump campaign to the Russian government's meddling in last year's election. Now, this is an interesting charge. While Papadopoulos has pled guilty, if Russia had information, there's nothing wrong with a campaign advisor accepting said information. There's nothing wrong with that. Where it does get into some murky grounds is if U.S. for U.S. actors, a campaign or an entire political party are saying, give us this and we'll give you money or we'll give you favorable approach, because collusion runs both ways. Information, you can give anybody any information you want. We have a newsroom.
Opposition research.
Right. We have a newsroom. Now, we get sources, we get cues, we get tips from everybody. We don't say, hey, give us news tips and we'll give you a prize. That's collusion. So the accusation that we or Trump or the Republican campaign or the Republican Party was doing something else in response to this information, to this research. That's the smoking gun I haven't yet seen, but conspiracy against the U.S. is one of the charges that both Manafort and Rick Gates have been indicted with. One of the 12.
One of the 12, yes.
Right. That's just one. That is just one. Now, see if you can skip down to the point where it says conspiracy against the U.S. and what that has to do with anything to do during the campaign. Because if the guys lied on their taxes, that's wrong. If the guys gave false statements, that's wrong. If the guys didn't disclose which foreign accounts they had to the government at the time they were asked, that's wrong. Manafort made himself a foreign agent, disclosed himself as a foreign agent after a timeline had passed, but he still did so. He just didn't do so in a timely fashion. But I still haven't seen or heard outside of Papadopoulos, still haven't seen anything where the Trump campaign worked in Congress, worked together with the Russian government or Russian entities, made promises where they promised goods, promised services, promised favorable treatment over others. President Trump can wonder why Hillary Clinton and the uranium deal isn't the forefront all he wants. That is the subject of a different investigation. For me, I will say that I haven't been surprised by anything in a long time. Okay, when somebody makes an outrageous allegation, I remember one time was, oh, Bill Cosby raped people. And I thought to myself, oh, that's well, it's not totally ridiculous because he was a Hollywood actor or Michael Jackson or any, you know, where you take somebody who's beloved or who's liked by many and say, oh, but they got there by breaking the law. You may like the person, but don't discount it right away. But just ask for the evidence. What kind of evidence? Are you willing to accept, Jay Howell, are you willing to accept the sworn testimony of a Russian agent?
No.
Okay.
I'm not sure I'm willing to accept sworn testimony, period. I want evidence. I want an audio recording. I want a hidden camera video. I want to see two parties making a promise and a promise back. I will give you this for this.
Maybe that videotape exists.
Maybe.
We'll see. Rush next.